Some of the things we're going to be looking at today, kind of quite direct, and look at things a bit about reality and what reality really is and what reality isn't. A lot in Christian circles, a lot of religious, funny enough, language is used, and flowery language. And everyone says amen, and they go back to their old ways Monday morning. It's a kind of puffing up. We've kind of done it to ourselves as a Christian church. We've taught ourselves our own language, our own ways of building each other up and saying amen to things we don't even understand. So I'll be talking quite clearly, I hope, by God's grace this morning through his word in Colossians. So will you stand with me this morning? We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12 through to verse 17. Therefore, as an elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all, those things put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So, Father, Lord, yep, we're coming this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come with a thankful heart. And help us to hear this morning, Lord, that your Spirit may speak to all of us. You speak corporately, but individually and personally to us. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say this morning to this body, the bride of Christ, whom you call the elect of God, holy and beloved. Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we can come to your throne of grace this morning in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Now, this portion of scripture, the Apostle Paul is listing character traits of the new man to those who have, without doubt, been in the world and of the world. I'm sure many of us here have been in the world and of the world. And Paul is exhorting them to put on the new man. A new man in Christ. Now, when one becomes a Christian, that is when one, by faith, puts their trust in the finished work of Jesus, they are saved. Amen? They are saved. Period. Now, although saved, it's also a new beginning. And like with all new beginnings, as we're looking in the new year, new beginnings, there is a work to be done. Now, the Christian life is a process, and what is expected from God, from us, is progress. We should always be moving forward, and this is exactly what Paul is exhorting them in. Today's message is called Work Out Your Own Salvation, in brackets, with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Now, this is taken in part from Philippians chapter 2 from verse 12. It reads, therefore, my beloved, have you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this scripture has worried a few people. How can you save yourself? Now, we know as believers, you can't save yourself, okay? So what exactly is Paul saying? Now, first of all, let me tell you what he's not saying. Paul is not saying work for your own salvation. That's not what Paul is saying. If you can do that, then Christ died in vain. And not forgetting to the fact, Paul's writing to people who have already been saved. So I believe he's saying this. Work yourself out of yourself. Work James out of James. work Andy out of Andy. You need to work yourself out of yourself and bring in to a conclusion. Bringing it to a conclusion. Now, Paul is writing to the church collectively and the members of it personally. There's a work that needs to be done within a church where we need to work certain things out of ourselves as a collective church. And also personally, there's a work that we need to do and we are involved in that work with fear and trembling as to not dishonor Christ. Having the fear of the Lord is not a bad thing. It's the beginning of wisdom, so sorry. It's not a bad thing to have the fear of the Lord. Now, how is this possible? Now, this is the wonderful thing. How is this possible? The next verse in Philippians says this, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It's possible by the power of God working through you and in you to accomplish this, although there's a work involved. Okay, so let's go straight into the text from verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as an elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering." He starts off with a therefore. Whenever you read therefore in Scripture, you need to find out what it's there for. He's bringing together a conclusion of things which was previously spoken of. There's a couple of texts that Andy shared on last week. Now, if we look in verse 9, Paul is bringing together two realities. Now, I've chosen that word very carefully. Two realities. Now, the first one is this in verse 9. You have put off the old man. That's number one. That's the first reality. You have put off the old man. Now, verse 10. And have put on the new man, that's number two, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That word image there is likeness, in the likeness, who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him. Or maybe this text should be asked as a question. Have you put off the old man? Have you put off the old man is the question. Or is it still clinging to you? Are you still clinging to the old man? We know spiritually that the flesh wars against the spirit. Okay? They're not friends. They don't get on. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. Okay? It's bad company. Now, the flesh is okay in a sense where it can be a good servant. The flesh can be a good servant, but a terrible master. Would you agree? The flesh is a terrible master. I remember reading about a minister who went fasting and his body gave him so much grief, his stomach gave him so much grief. By the second day, he decided to punish his stomach and fast for another 2 days to let the stomach know who is the master. And the master is the Spirit of God working through us. But we have to bring the flesh to subjection of the Spirit. That is our work, to deny yourself. Deny the self life. Now I want to show you from a different version. This is from J.B. Phillips. And sometimes by reading it in another English version, it brings a little bit of clarity. But sometimes we get used to the text that we use all the time. I generally use the New King James Version. I kind of get used to it. So sometimes to have another version, if it's a strong translation or even a strong paraphrase, it helps to bring some clarity. So let me just share with you J.B. Phillips' version of verse 10. J.B. Phillips puts it like this. "And you have put on the new nature, which by constant renewal in the likeness of its creator leads to a fuller knowledge of God." It leads to a fuller knowledge of God. Now the new man is and continues to be renewed. Must never forget that. There's a work in progress. We are work in progress. A lot of people say, right, if I become a Christian now, I'm kind of done. Been there, done that, got baptized. Okay? Now, maybe for all the married people in this room, not me, for the people who are married in this room, imagine if you applied that to your marriage. Well, we're married now, that's kind of it. Don't need to do it, we're done. No maintenance involved, no nurturing. That's just kind of it. But we're married to Christ, and there's a work to be done. We must be renewed. That's what this translation says. We must be renewed. Now, in what way are we to be renewed? Looking at this, there's two ways in which we're renewed. Both in and by the knowledge of Him who created us. Okay? So it's both in and by the knowledge of Him who created us. So the two ways could be read like this. In the understanding of and of the application of the Word of God. Let me say that again. We are renewed in the understanding of and by the application of the Word of God. You see, knowledge is not enough. You can keep gaining knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and everything else, learning and Bible commentaries and different translations and languages, but the application is what is needed. The application of the Christian life of what you learn is essential to your Christian walk. If you only had one of the Gospels, you had to say, let's say the Gospel of Matthew, with everything in it, by applying that in your life, and you think back to the people in medieval times, they probably even had much less than that. And many miracles were done at the hands of the Christians back in those days. Why is this? Because they were applying what they did know to the lives, what they had, which was not their own, because they died to the self. We can keep acquiring knowledge and never come to the realization of the truth, which is Christ Jesus. And if you want to learn more, apply what you already know. That's why I always say, go back to the text of Jesus. All the scriptures that you already know, well, I already know that. I know that you know that. But can you do it? That's the challenge for us. And this goes, it's the same for me. I'm not just pointing at you guys. It's me as well. Go back and read some of the teachings of Jesus. If you've got a red letter Bible, get that. Just read the red letters. Okay? That will be challenging for you. I promise you. And ask yourself, am I actually applying this to my life? The application is essential. Now, the wonderful thing is with a relationship, and a relationship with God, it's a two-way thing. But both of us have a part to play in this relationship. Now, let me say categorically right here, God is 100% faithful. We've got one amen from the assistant pastor. God is 100% faithful. Amen. Okay, are we? Are we 100% faithful? We're not. Come on, be honest. Everyone says amen. We're not. We're not 100% faithful. So we know, you've testified against yourself, and I've testified against myself, there's more. There's more we can do. Not for our salvation, but working out our sanctification. God has started a work, and He wants to continue that work. Who would want to shut down the work of God in your life? Not God. Now turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading from verse 25 through 27. Again, a lot of these well-known texts. Now, I read some of these verses at the wedding last year. I read the verses about that wives should submit to their husbands. And all our Nigerian brothers were saying, amen, amen. You remember? And then I read this bit. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, said the women. Not so many amens to that at the wedding. Is that correct? You remember, bro? Okay. But let's have a look. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. 27. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, it's God who is at work. It's only he who has the power to sanctify and cleanse us and to present to himself a bride without spot or blemish. How? By the washing of water, by the word. Remember, remember the scripture I shared this morning. For it's God who's working in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. If you try and do these things in the flesh, you will fail. Because everyone here has tried to do these things in the flesh and we have failed. You cannot do it. You will fail. But with the Holy Spirit working in you, all things are possible. All things are possible. I find it funny when I speak with Christians, and even when I say it myself, wow, God did this. Isn't that incredible? I know what people are saying, but it's not, is it? I prayed for my brother and he got healed. It's incredible, amazing what God can do. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I understand that. But yeah, that's why he's God. That's why he's God and you're not God. This is it. So by doing these things, will God then love me? If I do all of these things, and will God then love me when I do these things, when I accomplish these things? That's how sometimes Christians feel. But if I do this, this, this and this, then God will love me. That's like doing a degree, then going to university. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. But let's go back to our text in Colossians there. He's already said, you are the elect of God, holy and beloved. What more do you want? You're the elect of God, holy and beloved. So relax. But God is asking to put on, he's asking of us to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. These are the things that the Lord is asking you to put on. That doesn't mean fake it. Doesn't mean fake it till you make it. It's to put these qualities on in Christ Jesus while at the same time denying yourself. He must increase, I must decrease. There's a dying to self where Christ comes out glorious and victorious in your life while you die to yourself. Now, am I asking you to be perfect? No. Jesus is asking you to be perfect. Therefore, you should be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's another therefore. Therefore, you need to find out what he said before that. Okay, you can do your own reading. Be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, good morning. With all of this Christian talk and all of this kind of puffing up and quoting Jesus and saying how great we should be and everything else, I know how it can sound. It can all sound very romantic. And do you know what? That kind of talk, even in Christian church, annoys me. Okay? The kind of cheesy sayings and the smiley white teeth. Okay? It bugs me. Because what it does is it, like I said earlier, it will puff somebody up and they'll feel really great until Monday morning or maybe Tuesday afternoon, and then things start to get a little bit heavy, and then you forget the sermon, and then you get into what people call the real world. You can say these things, and even probably when you share the word of God with people, they say, yeah, I know it's nice, but in reality, have you heard this? No? You need to talk to people about Jesus. You will get that. But in reality, I know it's good. I won't do that. Or maybe I'll come to Jesus when I'm older. And let me just do university and let me just play around a little bit and get a bit more drunk. And just then I'll come maybe a bit later. I'll become religious when I'm older. Okay. I've been teased, although I'm 40, people still say, you're a bit young to be religious. I find it's kind of strange. Seems I was older than what Jesus was when he walked the earth. But that's reality for you, isn't it? That's the world for you. So I want to present exactly what reality is. I don't know how long we've got. How long have we got to talk about reality, Brother Andy? We've got 45 minutes. Wonderful. So reality is, let's have a reality check. It's the world or state of things that actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. Idealistic or notional idea of them. Things as they actually exist. Okay, now there is the earthly world, okay? And it is real. We have a lot of religious people, we're not really here. Yes, we are. We are really, really here. And I remember in my BC days reading a little book of a Zen master, and one of the Zen master's students come to him to try and impress his teacher and said, we're kind of not really here, we don't really exist. And the Zen master sat there smoking a pipe. And he's like, well, we don't really exist then. And he's just trying to impress him. And eventually the master gets very bored of his student, takes the pipe out of his mouth and smacks him on the nose. And said, well, if we don't really exist, whose pain is it that you feel? We are really here, and it is very real. But this earth is not eternal. It's real, but it's not eternal. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul says. For the form of this world is passing away. Some of your translations say the fashion of this world is passing away. It's the sensual world, the thing of the senses, the tasting, the touching, the hearing, the seeing. These things will pass away. They are passing away. So the sensual world, the things that we can acknowledge more because we're experiencing it more, are real but not permanent. Now the heavenly world is real and eternal. It's both real and everlasting. Now Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Remember that when Peter pulled out his sword and he chopped someone's ear off? Jesus tells him, who lives by the sword, dies by the sword. If only the crusaders would have heard that verse. Who lives by the sword, dies by the sword. And they did indeed die by the sword. Now Jesus said, do you not realize that I can call on 12 legions of angels are at my disposal, if that's what I want? Just to add there, a legion in the Roman army was between 4,000 and 6,000. Okay, so at the least, Jesus can call on 48,000 angels, and at best, 72,000 angels. Okay, these angels live somewhere, okay? They have an abode. The Bible talks about they live in the heavenlies. There is a real place which is eternal. Now, the things which are eternal, we can't fully see. But we can experience. We can even experience that here on earth. Some people think, well, I have to die and then I go to heaven. Well, you can experience heaven on earth. And every now and then we get little tastes and glimmers of that. But the more we can deny ourselves in a situation, the more the heavenly will become a heavenly reality. Now, we know what the scripture says. We're in the world, but not of the world. But the question is this. While we're in this world right now, how do we live it? How do we live in this present evil age, as Peter would say? How are we living? As I said earlier, God wants to do a work through every one of us. And he can only do as much as we allow him. He can only do as much in our lives as we allow God to work in our lives. So our job is to get out of the way. Okay? Get out, everybody, get out of God's way, okay, in your life. Just get out of your way, die to yourself. Again, it's these texts of Jesus. Carry your cross, deny yourself, die to yourself. Everyone goes, yeah, amen. Really? Are you really doing it? Come on. The reality is this, that it's eternal. That's the reality. And we must walk and live in that reality. That our true abode is the heavenly realm. What we see is real, but not eternal. But what we don't see is eternally real. And those are the only things which will last, by the way. Yes, we have our lives on earth. We eat and we drink and we marry and everything else. We marry and everything else. But what will be eternally lasting is what is done for Christ. What is done for Christ will live on eternally. As the poet, C.T. Studd puts it, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And most people stop there. Most pastors, we'll stop there. But that's not how the poem finishes. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I will be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. C.T. Studd. And that's very real. He knows that the things which he does for Christ will last. And that's how happy he will be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for Christ. Could you turn with me, please, to John chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 23 and 24. Again, the last few months, I've really been visiting some well-known passages just to shed some new light on them. And I've also encouraged other people to do the same. And a lot of people have gained things from it, and the Lord has shown them. Because of what Andy rightly said, the word of God doesn't change, but we change. Therefore, when we look back at these things that we thought we knew, we've got a deeper perspective of them now. We're wearing maturer glasses. John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now this word truth in Greek is aletheia. Truth, it can be translated either truth or in reality. True, and in fact, another translation, it does actually say in reality. So let me just read it with that in mind. And remember that the reality is the eternal kingdom. The hour is coming and now is that true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in reality. So what we do in reality is a form of worship. You got that? Truth, by living our lives in Christ, because he is the truth. And what we actually do is a form of worship unto the Lord by living out the real Christian life. It may be something very simple, what Jesus has said. The challenge is also, can you do it? Live it out. That's the reality. And when you do this, this is a form of worship. If you feel led to give this person a sandwich, you give that person a sandwich, even if that person's really annoying. Give them a sandwich. Why? Because God said, live out that heavenly kingdom here on earth. Now, where can you start to practice this idealistic, real Christian life? Well, to be honest, it starts here, in the household of God. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Let's have a look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not think about, must do it. Now that's the start, isn't it? Bearing with one another. So if you say, I can't bear this Christian, God is saying you must bear this Christian, because you've got to put up with him, because he's one of mine. So that's quite literally, putting up with people. Now you may have a justified complaint against your Christian brother or sister. You may be right, but the Lord is asking you to forgive them and deal with things. You've got a problem with somebody in the church, this church, or the extended church of Jesus out there, you have to forgive. And this is also a way of maturity. You say, well, I don't want to. Who cares what you want? You're supposed to be dead, aren't you? Yeah, but you make your excuses. Jesus asked you to forgive him. Yeah, I know, but in reality, yeah, in real reality of the eternal reality, you're to forgive them. I don't want you. So what? That's it. You have to deal with it. And when you move in this way, although it may feel superficial, God will come in. Has that happened in your lives? God will come in. You go, well, God's amazing. He can do all things. Yes, he can do all things. Now, Corrie ten Boom, if you heard of Corrie ten Boom, if not, look her up. Now, she met somebody. She was in a concentration camp. She lost a sister in a concentration camp. And then she met someone who was a Nazi at a Christian convention. And she recognized him. And he put his hand out to shake her hand. Okay, let's have a reality check. This is somebody who ran a concentration camp, who was there when her sister was murdered. And he's a Nazi. Nice to meet you. And she said, well, eventually it had to be God to lift up her hand. She couldn't lift up her hand. She just couldn't do it. But when she did, and she made a connection, then she felt the love for him. Is that incredible? Okay, this is not so long after the war. Then she felt the love towards him and recognized him as a brother in Christ. It's incredible. How many times should we forgive? How many? Exactly. Peter said about 7 times. No, Jesus didn't. 70 times 7. Okay, we continue to forgive. And this is here, it's working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing whom we serve. We are knowing whom we serve. We're serving Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We should fear. We should fear and be obedient and be obedient. And this is the person that you're dealing with, is someone who Christ died for. Christ died for all. So the people that we're dealing with on our day-to-day basis in our Christian reality walk is someone that Christ died for. Now, how can I do it? Paul says in verse 14, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. See, when you put on the new man, you need to put on everything that comes with it. I want it all, Lord. Love is one of them, that you may be complete and lacking nothing. Put on love. Put it on. And this is really working out your own salvation. Bring into a conclusion the love which is in you. We was at a Bible study on Thursday, and one of the brothers had an outburst of love and said, I just love you all, and just, I really... So I had to get up and give him a hug. But I could sense the love of Christ in me. It just bursted over. I was like, okay, brother, we love you as well. A little kiss on the head. Now, let's carry on with the Bible study. Yeah, but I just want to say that I love you. It's Christ's love working through him. Was you there? It was good, wasn't it? God is at work. Okay. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, if we allow God to do it. Now, verse 15, Paul goes on and says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. See, this is let. Allow the peace of God to literally umpire your heart. Let God be the umpire of your heart. Let him decide what happens and what doesn't happen. Then you shall have peace. You will have peace. It's just another fruit of the Spirit. But this can only come about when you deny yourself. Now, the scary thing is when that voice starts coming back, but that's not really you. No, it's not really you. It's really God working through you. So you have to deny even that voice. Come on, that's not really who you are. And I must admit, when I, as an early Christian, it did feel like I was faking it till you could make it. But there needs to be a starting point. So sometimes things can be done in a very mechanical way in your Christian walk. And I don't see that as a problem, as long as you do it in the right spirit and knowing, it's that knowledge, knowing why you're doing it. I don't like this, I don't like this person, but Jesus loves this person, now I'm doing it. And you will increase in love for God's creation, and you will have that peace in your heart, knowing you're doing the right thing. And we're to submit to this, we're to submit to God's instructions. You see, the thing is, with the Holy Spirit, it will not dominate you. If you have a spirit that dominates you, it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit will not dominate. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to work for you and be thankful. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for this small fellowship? Yes, come on, we are. I've spoken to many of you, and I know how much many of you love this fellowship. And Brother Andy was away for a couple of weeks, preaching and being in other places. Oh, I miss it, James. I missed it. Am I right? He missed it. Why? Because it's Andy's home. We love you, Andy. But he missed it. Why is that? Because this is his home. This is his spiritual home. Oh, I kind of miss it. And if you miss it for a few weeks, you miss it for a few weeks. And that's fine. Because this is your spiritual home. You can go to a big church and go to a small church, but it's not kind of your church. And you can't wait to get back home. Okay, now you can go off on holiday, Andy. Next time, email me. But when you go on holiday, one of the wonderful things I like about going on holiday is coming home. Isn't that really weird? And you're on the plane, you're like, I can't wait to get home and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Unless maybe you're not like that. Maybe it's just me, which is weird because I live alone. That's weird. Okay. Let's crack on. Verse 16. let the word of Christ, God is Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's exactly what this means here. To dwell means to be at home with. We need to be so acquainted with the Word of God, with the Bible, the book that people think is weird, the book where people have such a strong opinion of and they've never even read it. It's a strange book. But we need to become acquainted with the Word of God. This tells us much about our real spiritual home and the persons that live there, which is Christ. Everything is written about Christ. It all points to Him. And teaching, yes, we have teaching. We have teaching on Sunday mornings and we have it on Thursdays. And it's good that we are taught and we have the Word of God. We're supposed to be continuously cleansed through this. Jesus said, you are clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. It washes us and sanctifies us by the Word, as Christ does with His bride. And it goes on. Admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's worship. Look, we come here on a Sunday to minister unto the Lord. He ministers to us and we minister to one another. That's our job. That's the function of the house of God, that we minister to one another. We pray for one another. We build each other up. But it comes first from ministering and waiting on the Lord. Now the question is this. How can we do this 100%? Remember, God's 100% faithful if we're not here on time. It's gone very quiet. James, the sermon's okay up until that point. How can we do that if we're not here on time? Now, many of you may have reasons why you're late, getting out of the house and kids and so forth. I don't know. But whatever your reason is for being late on a Sunday, take it to the Lord in prayer. And the reason is this. If you want to see God working more in your lives, you have to be more obedient to the call of worship. It's not the interim thing like you have the adverts at the cinema. Now, if the Lord wants to use Andy, was you on time today? Okay. If the Lord wants to use Andy, I forgive you. See, I learned about forgiveness. If the Lord wants to use Andy, maybe the Lord puts a word on Andy's heart. I'm sure He has many times. I know He has. But if Andy's not here to administer to one of you, to one of us, and to build and encourage us up, and you see how things are disproportionate, we'll kind of turn up a bit out of sync. Okay? It's like a really bad dance. We need to be here to minister to one another. And other people minister to you. But we can't do that unless we come together and minister unto the Lord first. Because this is our point of worship. It's all about Jesus. Amen? We have to come and minister. This is the crux, the center point of your Christian faith. It all emanates from Jesus. And if He's not there at the center of our Christian worship, then we are literally off center. Verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give Him thanks to God the Father through Him. And that's it. Everything good in our lives, we have to come to the Lord and say thanks. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for being long-suffering. We praise you that we know that you're 100% faithful and that we can come to you. Even when we fall in sin, we can come to the light and He will sanctify and justify us by the blood of His beloved Son, Jesus. And we give thanks also for the people of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know we have family and friends out there, and even brothers and sisters, we have brethren out there as well. And one of our jobs as witnesses is to them, but we also have a huge responsibility to one another. And I think in a time where things are getting very, very dark out there, we need to be even more close-knitted as a family. Would you agree? Just even the influence You go to other towns and obviously you see how things are depleting. I was walking through Cambridge the other day and I just praised the Lord. And I didn't say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. Don't get me wrong. But what I said is, wow, Lord, these people can't see this reality that they're living in. They can't even see the eternal reality, but they can't see what they're living in. And I can tell you, from being in Cambridge for 40 years, I'd say especially in the last 10 years, how things are just falling by the wayside in every area. Drunkenness, debauchery, everything, morality in this town. And I don't expect this town to be any different to any other town. And we can be influenced by that, by spending too much time apart. Well, I know there's one brother who said, I'm so thankful, you know, he'd been away from Bible study for a couple of weeks. He was so thankful to come back. We cleanse and wash each other with the word of God, by worshipping together, by admonishing each other, by building each other up in the holy faith. Don't be on the outside, be on the inside. Because you take a coal of fire and take it from the fire, yes, it will burn bright for a little while, but after a while, none of us are above that. None of us are above that. If I go away, I'm happy to get back into fellowship. It's not good. That light of us, the light that's working for us, should be bright. Peter says earlier, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, the Christian life is a process, and what is expected is progress. And we should always be moving forward. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, knowing that we have a loving heavenly Father who is also a holy God. Amen? He is a holy God, and God will not be mocked by anyone. Work yourself out of yourself. Bring to a conclusion the things that the Lord wants to do in you. Your sanctification. Bring these things to a conclusion as to not dishonor Christ Jesus. Now, again, like I said earlier, the progress in the Christian life is possible, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure that He wants to work in you and through you. This is not a mean God. This is a holy God. This is a God who loves the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not a meany God. He's a loving Father. And He wants the best for every one of us in Christ Jesus. When God disciplines you, you know He's right. And you know what He wants is the best for you. So let me just summarize like this. The first is to put off the old man. That's a conscious decision. In things that you decide, we still have willpower, and we have to deny that self. And the second is simply put on the new man, which is easier if you're dying to the old man. Don't let them war against one another. Make a decision of the will. The will is very, very powerful. Make a conscious decision. Lord, I've decided to follow You. And from now on, if you want the new man and the new life and the new year, make a conscious decision. And if something causes you to sin, cut it off. If you're not strong enough to deal with it, cut it out of your life. And allow God to work through you. Work yourself out of yourself and bring to a conclusion everything that the Lord has for you. Your sanctification, your salvation, everything that the Lord wants for you. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll just finish with this. Now, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and reality. Walk out the Christian life. It's not easy. You've got two worlds warring against one another. It's not easy. But Jesus never said it was going to be easy, did He? And don't tell people on the street it's easy either. But tell them that it's the power of God that's going to do it. If they or we allow God to work through us. It is possible. Now, you've tasted parts of heaven, haven't you? All of you have. I know you have. And there's more to come. The Lord has more for us. But we must worship in spirit and reality. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for this word this morning, a reminder, Lord, that as believers, we must deny ourselves. Lord, yes, we must carry our cross and die daily. Lord, that you will have your way in us. And Lord, through this daily dying, Lord, let us commit this morning to allow you to work through us, that we may work out our own salvation and bring to completeness, to fullness, everything that you have for us, both collectively and personally, Lord. Lord, have your way this morning, and may you be honored in our lives, bringing honor and glory to your beloved Son, Jesus. Amen.